The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
All right, people, break out your notebooks and pencils and slide rules. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio with true geeks. And by the way, I'm Dee Snider, and I'm a geek too.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
It's kind of cool because I've been sitting there for the last week and a half thinking, I got to talk to Sean about the latest from Wise. So when something comes out from the company, from Wise, I think right away we turn right to Sean.
Yeah, I should just go live every time I buy a Wise product because that'd be live at least once a week probably.
Seriously, they did an announcement about a week. Was it a week and a half ago that they said they
So they had a release on the website and they said, we're announcing this thing really quick. Well, then somebody found in the code and leaked it before they could announce it. So they actually didn't release it. They released it early based on the leak.
Right.
Because they were like, yeah, you're right. It's the camera.
Now, for listeners who don't know, Wyze is WYZE.com, and they make a line. Since they came out, and how long have they been around now, would you say?
2016 or 2017, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a little earlier than that.
They introduced a camera, and people thought, what is this thing?
Well, it's like, so when Wyze first came out, you know, they released this camera that was $20. V1, right? Which is no longer made because they did security issues, whatever. Because it's old. And it was great. Everybody ate up these cheap cameras that the quality wasn't amazing, but it was good enough. And you could store stuff on the cloud and you could store stuff on the SD card. It was great.
I liked it because you got 12 seconds of video, like, also true. Right, without having to pay for it. And, you know, you looked at the competitors like Ring and Nest and Canary. They all had products.
You were looking at a 80% cost savings by going to Wyze, right?
Yeah.
Which is why they became so popular. Now, unless you're a super techie, then maybe it's not for you because there are things you have to worry about. They are a little on the cheap side, but if you go in knowing they're cheap, you're fine, right?
Yeah.
If you want a Ring and you want to tie it into Amazon, great, do that. But I don't want that. So this past week, they announced we're returning to the OG, the original on their website. The original $20 camera is back. Back to the basics with a huge leap forward. That's what it says on their website.
Yeah, because they've recently put out cameras that have been more along the $40, $50, maybe even $60 price point, depending on what you want.
The version 3 Pro, it will shoot 2.5K. You know, they have some higher resolution ones. Not sensor size, just higher, more resolution, but not sensor size.
So you get a better picture.
You're cramming more pixels in the same space. You get a decent, a little bit better picture.
Right.
But what I found curious was they actually released two cameras that you can buy in tandem and you can stack them together.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. So one facing one way, another facing another.
Well, yeah, you could buy two of the OGs, but they have what they're calling the OG telephoto. So it's a telephoto, so you could point it in a specific spot and it's going to be zoomed in.
Oh, okay.
The quality is going to be better because it's actually using a lens instead of digital zoom.
Right.
So if you have a specific thing you want to be focused in on and you need to get to it without, you know, revealing the location of your camera, or you want it to be discreet, you could buy this OG standard telephoto. So I'm going to run through the prices real quick, right? One pack of the OG standard is $19.99.
$20. So for somebody wanting a camera to monitor interior, or, I mean, you could safely.
So this is designed to be indoor outdoor. So it's IP65 waterproof.
Oh, cool.
Or water resistant or rated, right? So it's designed to be indoor or outdoor, right? I wouldn't put it in somewhere where it's going to get dunked on if it rains. But if you're putting it out like on your front porch.
Mm-hmm.
Under an awning, under an eave, you know, it's going to be fine for the most part, right? Don't put it in direct sunlight. Don't be dumb about it.
But, yeah.
You know, but it's got a couple features of the newer cameras without the price, right? It's got the built-in spotlight, which is a mediocre spotlight, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
It's got an improved microphone. It's got a 120. So this is the benefit, right? It's a wide angle. So it's 120 degree field of view. But I don't know without looking it up what the field of view is on the other cameras, but it's a wider field of view. It's got color night vision, which was added in the version 3s. You can stack them with two cameras or you can stack one with the telephoto. And it's, you know, tied in to the app, just like all the other cameras. 1080p, 20 frames per second daytime, 10 frames per second nighttime. Digital zoom eight by, you know, it's basically a cheap V3.
Right.
That has, yeah. So it's just, this is what Wyze started as, right? So for them to release this kind of grabs that market share back of the people that are maybe nervous about going to a cheap camera. But I haven't plugged it in. I haven't turned it on. I actually just unboxed it for the show, but I'm probably going to put it out on my front porch.
It looks a little smaller actually than the three, right?
Side by side comparison, right? So it is a little bit smaller. If you want, Andy wants to take a screenshot of this, he can put it on the web. But
it has like a really nice design.
Yeah. So this is a V2, right? So this is a V2, and the other one is the new OG. So, but this is the stand it comes on, right? So you mount it on the stand, and then you can stack it. There's this plate that you can separate to stack it.
Now, if you wanted to with that stand, you could mount it upside down and then just invert the video, right?
Yeah. Rotate it 180 or whatever in your settings. So I'm going to get this going this week and probably replace one of my other V2s with it.
But for $20, that's a great deal.
For $20, I thought it was going to be hey, we have a promo price of $19.99. No, that's it. That's the price. It's not a pre-release. It's not a pre-order. It's a, you know, when they announced it, they were ready to ship. So I just clicked the button and spent, you know, after $5 for shipping and tax, it was closer to $27 or something. But
how do they work on notifications? I mean, if there is something in a field that, say, a car pulls up in your driveway, will it send you a notification?
You got to go in and configure your camera to you can set motion ranges, and you can set whether it's going to trigger off vehicles or motion or sound or, you know, you even if you pay for the Cam Plus, you could even do their AI, which will include notifications for pets barking, children crying, smoke alarms, CO2 alarms, and other things like that. So, you know, I've got a handful of mine set up to do different things based on actions that I've got set up, right? Like the camera I have in my garage, it detects sound. Then triggers the light in my garage that I have a Wyze plug plugged into, and it turns that light on.
Oh, cool.
When I open the garage door to go out of the garage, I hear a click, the light comes on.
Right.
After 15 minutes, light goes out. So you can set up all these rules and notifications and stuff. And I was going to show you, Andy, too. Remember how I told you I actually, you know, did the Wyze switch. I had the Wyze switch here.
Oh, yeah. You did the rig that.
If I do a triple click.
Right.
It should go back to.
There you go.
I turned them off.
Perfect.
So one click turns them on. And then I think it's a triple click or a long press.
So you don't have to pull up your smartphone.
So now I don't have to pull up my smartphone to change the rules. So if you're interested in the Wyze switch hack that I did, I can put together a little list of how to do it. It's very easy. I took some pictures. If I do the triple tap, it's just double tap.
Right.
Now we're back to
changing the lights in his
all the lights that I have set up in my basement with the Wyze switch, which is sitting at my desk, not installed into the wall like they're designed to. And then I'm just hacked it to actually just provide 5 volts straight to the board. So
now I know one of the questions, Sean, that people ask a lot, and I've talked about Wyze to people who are in the market for cameras. And, you know, we've talked about Ring. We've talked about Nest. We've talked about Canary. We talked about Blink. We've talked about the Wyze Cam. Usually a question they always ask is how much is it for the monitoring? You monitor it yourself, basically, but that's always been someone I'm kind of shady on, because I know, like, you have $65 for Ring. You can do all your cameras and do it that way. On the Wyze system, they came up with this Cam Plus. They took away that 12-second video you would get when you bought one. You got that automatically, but Cam Plus is the way to go. I don't understand yet, how much does Cam Plus cost, say, for even just one camera?
So for one camera, it's $1.67 a month.
All right.
For Cam Plus.
And you get unlimited 24-hour recording.
Unlimited video length there's no delay between events, motion triggered alerts, sound triggered alerts, smoke and CO2 triggered alerts, person detection, event fast forwarding, package detection, vehicle detection, pet detection, the web view, which you can go to the Wyze webpage and see all your cameras there. And you can get discounts on products also,
yeah,
as a CAM Plus subscriber. So I had that going for my 7 or 8 cameras, right? So I was paying like $18 a month for all my cameras, right?
Okay.
So that adds up over the year. Right?
Yeah.
It's $20, almost $20 a month if you rounded that up times 12, right? Then they said, well, we've got all these users that have way more than 5 or 6 cameras, yeah, right? You can pay $99 a year,
right,
for an unlimited number of CAM Plus cameras.
Got it.
Now, I will add in this caveat. And this is what's frustrating about the way Apple is designed to work with the iOS. If you purchase CAM Plus through the app,
mm-hmm,
you are paying Apple to pay Wyze.
Okay.
So you're not subscribed through Wyze. You're subscribed through Apple.
Oh, got it.
So if you're doing the CAM Plus, you're going to want to either go through the Wyze. Don't go through the Wyze app. Go to their website and do it.
Right.
Go to the website, log in. It'll have, if you log in on the website, it pulls up all the same information you have in your app and do it. And what was great is that they reimbursed me some of the money that I had from my other cameras because I had paid for the full year.
Wow. So that's pretty cool.
They sent me the money back and then charged me the $99.
Nice. For a year, it's still a little more pricier than Ring or the Nest. I'm sorry, not Ring, but the Nest. A little more pricier than that, but still.
But do you get unlimited cameras with the Nest?
I'm not sure. I do know that
it
might be only 5.
You know, I've got 10 Wyze cameras, I think, now, right?
Oh, my God. You're like a fortress there.
3, 4, 5, 6. I've got at least 10.
Yeah.
They're not all on. They're not all plugged in, right? I've got the outdoor ones set up for when I do stuff, when I go traveling and stuff. But that's better. $99 a year for CAM Plus on all those.
Right.
No, just that's it. And $99 doesn't seem like that much, but that's less than $9 a month. Now, I don't subscribe to the home monitoring or any other stuff that they offer, right? I don't need that.
Yeah, because you monitor yourself.
Right. I just monitor myself. I get, you know, I use it quite often for the doorbell, right? That packages get delivered. You know, I got a musical instrument delivered and the guy was, you know, the UPS guy driver showed up, hit the button, and I just said, hey, leave it on the front porch. I'll be home in 20 minutes. And he just set it on the
front porch. Now, is it responsive? Because I don't know if you remember, Justin and I both have the Ring wired doorbell and the delay on it was just unusable. It got to the point where somebody would ring the doorbell on that doorbell cam from them that was wired. And we might not get the notifications until 10, 15, 20, even 30 seconds later. By that time, the person's already leaving.
I get, you know, so they had an issue earlier on with their cloud service where if you got the notification and you hit the button too quick, it didn't have time to register the video in the cloud. It just sent the notification. You had to wait and then reload, but they got that fixed. But I've had no issue with, hey, somebody's calling at your front door. Click. Hey, I see it's UPS. Boop. Hey, please leave the package on the front. I mean,
yeah,
maybe 5-10 seconds.
Usually they're still there.
Yeah. And you know, I've had great success with my Wyze stuff, right? I read a lot of stuff about people who are bad because their device is reset or they're having Wi-Fi problems. So to those people who are going to be like, well, all these problems are on the Wi-Fi. Well, you know, maybe look at upgrading your wireless router to handle, right? Wireless routers, especially the ones you buy from Comcast or whatever, aren't necessarily designed to handle a large number of Wyze devices, right? If I tallied up all my Wyze devices, I probably have over 30 Wyze devices between my smart bulbs, smart plugs, the wall plugs,
right,
the night lights, the cameras, and you know, the Wyze, I have the earbuds, right? So those don't connect to my Wi-Fi, they just connect to my phone. But
most people in a situation are probably not carrying that kind of load.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if you're having issues with the cameras dropping out and having to be restarted, maybe look at upgrading your wireless router to a more efficient or a better, stronger Wi-Fi router. And, you know, there are other products that I just don't agree with that they sell. Like, they started great on cameras, and then they kind of went into this rabbit hole of every consumer electronic product that they could possibly get their hands on and re-engineer and put out on their own, right?
Yeah.
I'm not buying their gun safe.
Wait, don't tell me they have a gun safe.
Yeah, they have a gun safe. And
a wise gun safe?
If you're interested in learning about it, watch the lockpicking lawyer's video on the wise gun safe.
Okay? All right.
That's all I'm going to say about that. But, yeah, $19, you can't beat it. I'm excited to turn it on and get it plugged in. And next week in the show, I'll pull it up on the webpage and share my screen so you guys can see what it looks like and see the quality.
I've noticed, though, and that's good for Wyze. I think it's good for Wyze because they've been doing a lot of this stuff, you know, online. You buy the camera online, the whole bit. And then we've still slowly see them starting to migrate into retail. Home Depot carries their products.
Costco sells them now.
Costco as well. Walmart. I was in Walmart the other day. They had the Wyze robot vacuum, which I thought, well, that's kind of cool. I don't know how good it is. Again, I haven't tried it. But you look at the pricing of the Wyze robot vacuum versus the Shark or versus the Roomba, and it was, you're talking about a big savings.
Yeah, no, and like you can't beat $19. You can't beat a $27 home security camera that, you just can't beat it. Yeah. You just can't.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. So I'm glad you showed us that. You got to, you know, maybe next week you could kind of tell us what you thought about it as well. Have you migrated to Windows 11 yet?
No, I have not. And I'm at that point where I've probably been on this build for about since I moved into the house, right? So about 2 years.
This is normally the time you would reinstall, right?
So I try and do a full fresh nuke the machine, reformat the drive, write zeros on it, you know, do the whole shebang.
Yeah.
And get back to a great state, lose all the bloat, the garbage programs I haven't used in forever, and get everything back to you know, fresh and clean.
Right.
Do I go to Windows 11? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hit or miss, right? We don't support it at work yet because certain vendor products aren't going to go to Windows 11. So I'd like to stay with Windows 10. Windows 11, my buddy has it. He says it's not that much different. Justin says it's great. Have you upgraded yet?
I have it on my laptop. I went ahead and did an upgrade on the laptop. I'll be honest with you. It's been, a year? I'm still getting used to it. And I finally updated my BIOS on my computer, so now I can do it. And now it's reminding me to go ahead and install and, you know, run Windows 11. And I guess I could, but, you know, I've kind of been holding off. Well, Microsoft has got a big push this week just to reminding everybody that if you can run it, you want to do it. Because January 31st, they're really starting to work their way away from Windows 10. They're going to stop selling the Windows 10 download for those that, you know, say you want to build a new system. You know, we always tell you it's so easy to do, PC part picker, and you could buy Windows 10 download version to install on it, but they're going to stop selling that. It's not going to be available anymore. Or if, you know, you just wanted to upgrade your machine from 7 or 8.1 and you signed it up, I'll go to 10. I'll feel safer there.
Yeah, and you know, there's an article that I read that is good. You mentioned 7 and 8.1, right? January 10th of 2023 officially ended the support for both 7 and 8.1.
Oh, wow.
Now they will eventually do like what they did with XP, where if there's a major security vulnerability, they'll go back and patch it and things like that. But you can't call Microsoft and get support for 7 or 8.1 right. As of 20 days ago.
I really liked 7.
I really did too. You know, that was the my first machine that I ever built ran 7. It was a huge upgrade from Vista. And I actually, the girl I was dating at the time hated Vista on her laptop. So I actually upgraded it to 7 from Vista and made it better. But it just was 7 was good. It was a stable operating system. It kind of went back to the roots of Windows with Task Manager, and it kind of went in the direction where Windows was before Vista and a couple other things. And then, of course, 8.8 and 8.1.
That kind of changed everything, didn't it?
Well, you know, you can't fault Windows for trying to do what Apple has succeeded in.
Yeah.
is making your iOS and your Mac OS and your iPad OS
make it all work
and
together.
Your watch OS all you go from one to the other seamlessly. Like you, I know how to Mac OS, iOS is going to be super easy. They tie into each other, right? They were trying to get in a little too late, in my opinion, on the smartphone business, right? They had the Windows phone and the tie in. The Windows phones actually weren't that bad. I had a, you know, my work phone was a Windows phone for a short period of time. And then something happened and we had to go with Verizon or someone, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
But eight Windows, they did such a drastic change in the operating system style, in the feel, and everybody just went, what is this? This is Windows.
This is kind of what I felt though about Windows 11. It was so dramatically different than, you know, I did not go to 8. I went from 7 to 10. And then, you know, going from 10 to 11, I felt it was just so dramatic. But the thing is, here's the thing. So January 31st, they're going to stop selling the download for you, right? But I don't know. I looked the other day, and that free download is still available on the Microsoft website, which you can find. I don't know if they'll take that away.
They're still going to support it, right? Because they offer it for free, right? If you download Windows 10 for free and you install it, you just don't get the benefit of some features, right?
Yeah.
And they're not going to get rid of that because it's a huge push for their market share to keep a free version of Windows 10. Offer a free version of Windows 11. I think a lot of people will flock to Windows 11. Right?
I kind of wonder if eventually they'll do that.
I'm sure like with Windows 10, they did an accessibility version. Like if you go through and I'm sure there's a way that you can take your Windows 10 license and get it upgraded to Windows 11 somehow for free through Microsoft.
Have you thought about getting yourself a new MacBook? Because Apple just announced some new MacBooks and I'm honestly really contemplating it.
So my new work MacBook is an M1.
Right.
And I love it.
So you would love the M2.
Yeah, I would love the M2. I just don't have a need. I've got a 16-inch i7 7th or 8th gen. Right. And I bought it in 2017. It's got that stupid touch bar.
Oh, gosh.
The bad butterfly keys.
Yes, I remember those.
I bought it at a time where I needed it to do freelance work and to edit and shoot weddings and other stuff that I was doing at the time, right? So it made sense that I spent, you know, $2,200 on a MacBook then.
Right.
Would I buy an M2 MacBook? Yes. Do I need to? No. Until they stop supporting Intel, I mean, they're not going to not stop supporting Intel machines for a long period of time to come.
Right.
You know, it took them until 2010 to stop supporting PowerPC.
Yeah.
So I had a PowerPC Mac tower from 2006 all the way up until 2010 when I logged into World of Warcraft one day. PowerPC no longer supported.
Oh, boy.
That's when I built my first Windows PC.
You said it. I'm out of here.
Seriously,
I'm going to Windows.
Like, I can't play this. I ordered parts that night. It was there 2-3 days later, and I was building my own first machine.
All right, speaking of that, before we go to break, and let me tell you, coming up on the show, we're going to be talking to the guy who created LeetPad.
I've had my nephews had it, and, you know, it's a cool device.
Yeah, he's going to be talking about that. He's going to be talking about a brand new product they've got coming up, Kano, which is a magic wand reader for the kids. So we'll talk about that. But 2,000 adults were surveyed, Sean, by one poll to determine the greatest video games of all time. Now, right off the bat, and I asked a couple of friends, we all agreed Pac-Man should be the greatest video game of all time.
Waka, 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 waka.
Such a great game. It even had its own song.
Such a great game, and, you know,
it had its own song.
It did, and, you know, it's very nostalgic for me specifically because anytime we went to go get pizza at Pizza Hut, they had a Pac-Man machine.
Yes.
And they had the two-player version where joystick on both sides, you could battle each other. It was my brothers and I would spend tons of money on that.
Pac-Man came in at number 5, which surprised me. Number 4 was Grand Theft Auto. Now, I don't know about you, Sean, but I played Grand Theft Auto when it was view top. So when you were playing the game, you were viewing from top rather than first person.
Yeah, they had a handful of great versions, right? They had the original, then they had the London version, and then a couple other versions. And then, you know, finally, Grand Theft Auto for the, I think the PlayStation 2, mm-hmm. San Andreas maybe, or Vice City, you know, a handful of those. You know, I definitely played those growing up.
Super Mario World came in at number 3.
So that's an incredible game. I'm surprised it's number 3.
It was fun. On my NES, that was a fun one to play. Mario Kart came in at number 2.
Which version of Mario Kart?
It didn't say. It just said Mario Kart.
This is Mario Kart. Yeah, there's so many good versions of Mario Kart. Double Dash is probably the best one. Fight me.
Now, this now this one, I couldn't understand, though. Number 1, I really thought, okay, maybe it's Call of Duty. Maybe it's, you know, Splinter Cell. Number 1 was FIFA, which is a soccer, basically a soccer game, which I don't think I've ever played. But that was the number 1 greatest video game of all time, according to
them. It's been around for a long time, and it's just has a cult following that it's just the rest of the world outside of the U.S. just loves football more than you or I can even think about, right? So it makes sense.
That was the number 1 game. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to be talking all about education, software that the kids are using, and a way to really connect if you're a grandparent. A parent, a great-grandparent. You want to connect with the kids and make it fun. They've got a great way, so we'll be doing that when we come back with Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So like many of you, I'm a grandparent. Actually, I'm a great-grandparent. And one of the things is with our, you know, grandkids and great-grandkids kind of scattered all over the nation is keeping in touch with them. And I'll be honest with you, technology has made it a lot easier. But when it comes to child development, we've seen that before we could ever think about connecting with them remotely. We are honored to have with us the inventor of the Leap Pad, Jim Margraf, standing by with us on the line to tell us a little bit about engaging with grandkids remotely and some of the many different ways that it is possible. Jim also has just recently started another new company called Canoe, with the Canoe Magic Wand, some great stuff. So we'll tell you about that as well. Jim, thank you so much for coming on Tech Talk Radio.
Andy, thanks. I'm pleased to be here with you today. Thank you.
Tell us, how did you get involved in, you know, getting Leap Pad off the ground and, you know, really making this work? What was the, you know, what was the desire here?
Cool. Thanks. It goes back quite a while. It was actually 23 years ago.
Wow.
That I had the idea for the Leap Pad. My kids were 2 and 4. I had a boy and girl. I was watching them learn to read, and I observed these black squiggly marks on a page, and thought if we could give more direct access to be able to allow them to look at a book and know that those little squiggles had names, and those names of these squiggles had sounds. If you put them together, you made words. I thought that we could create a breakthrough in reading, and lo and behold, created this idea of something I call paper-based multimedia. Built it, and we put books in a cradle, as you know, with a Leap Pad. And within 5 years, we helped roughly 100 million kids learn to read.
Wow, amazing.
It was very gratifying.
Made it so much easier, too, for parents as well, to always have that content in front of kids so that they're learning, not just sitting in front of the television, you know, and now, of course, we think about the computer, but it gives them that ability to use technology to continue to learn. Now, when it comes to people like myself that have grandkids and we want to stay engaged with them, the new technology in our modern world gives us that opportunity when they live far away. But some grandparents are a little timid about this. What really advice could you give them to extend that and keep in touch with them?
The challenge is communicating with your grandkids in a way that is interesting and relevant to them. And also understanding the ages and stages of the needs, the style of communication, the learning interests that kids have at different ages. So here's a challenge. You think as a grandparent, you've got a 4-year-old, maybe you're a grandmother, and you've got a 4-year-old grandson named Johnny. Mm-hmm. And we call this the Johnny problem. And grandma gets on FaceTime with Johnny and says, "Hey, Johnny, how are you?" "Good."
"Exactly."
"What are you up to?" Nothing. And Johnny, you know, he just at that point, he's not interested in turning this evening. He runs off. He's 4.
Yeah.
And mom chases after him with a smartphone. "Johnny, talk to Grammy." And Grammy's sitting on the FaceTime call, and she's feeling bad. She doesn't know what to say. She knows he's not interested. And you know, as that time extends month after month, and they try to have the calls, they don't really connect. So when eventually they do get together, more than half of grandparents are 500 miles or so from their grandkids. So yeah. It's a big problem in this country. And the Johnny problem happens every day, every day.
Yeah.
So you know, you can say, so what do you do? Think about what does the grandparent need and what does the grandchild want? Grandchild wants to do something fun. They like playing games. They like moving their bodies. That's what they, and they're in the moment all the time. They're not thinking ahead. They haven't developed executive function to look at, and, you know, that part of the brain's not really developed. So the grandparent wants to engage them. So one, you could put a game into the video chat.
Right.
So if you do that, put a game like tic-tac-toe or checkers in. When you do that, what happens is they play the game, but they're not really bonding and connecting, but there is time together. But pretty much the child puts their head down, they focus on the screen. The grandparent looks at the top of the child's head, depending on where the camera is.
Yeah.
It's okay, but we could do much better. So the next step is that, okay, let's find a way to allow both to be guided a bit. So we dropped a character into video chat, a cartoon, a retro classic two-dimensional cartoon Flintstones-like character. So we put that there that talks to both of them. The next thing we did is we created games we'll call bespoke games designed to bond and connect.
Nice.
And so once you have that, now you've got games like you're baking a cake together, you're fishing, and grandpa puts a fish on the hook and the child catches it, or you're building a puzzle together where you have to collaborate the way we design it. So it's collaboration, creativity. And the next piece that was key for us, and this has moved the whole company to another plane, which is we put a wand, a 4-inch wand, about 2 ounces, in the hand of a child. It's got 3 bright colored orbs that change colors, and it responds to the child's movement. And the wand becomes an augmented reality tool.
Ooh.
On the screen in the video chat with the grandparent. It means you might say you're making a cake together, and the grandparent on the screen is the ingredients shown on a shelf, and the grandparent drags an egg over, and the grandchild takes their wand, and they crack the egg by moving it in air. And they see a knife come down and it cracks the egg. And then the grandparent will pull up a box of flour, a bag of flour over, and the grandchild will pour the wand, they'll pour the flour by tilting their wand, and it'll pour into the bucket. Then it becomes a whisk, and then they'll whisk it up and scoop it out and put it on a tray, put it in the oven. Or they'll go fishing, and grandpa will see the fish swimming by, and Johnny or Susie can't really see them, they're blurred out. And he moves his finger and puts a fish on the hook, and Johnny or Susie takes the wand and pulls it back in the air and catches the fish and pulls it out. And the fish does a dance and sings a song and teaches something.
So what you're doing is you're having that bond doing stuff together, where it's not like grandma or grandpa is over there doing their thing on the screen and the child sees it related to their screen. They're actually watching each other, communicating with each other, and using that wand to have some fun and kind of move the play along.
That's right. And it's designed for, our mission is to create the best possible future for kids, their families, and the world through connection, play, and learning. And those three words are so important because we polled grandparents for quite some time as I was getting this company started in 2020. And what they wanted, we heard again and again, they want connection, they want to play with their grandkids, and it'd be nice if they'd learn something.
Yeah.
Pedagogically, perhaps, or something to teach them. Now, we started this, and then we heard from parents. Once we did some testing on this, got it out. Parents want those three things, but in exactly the reverse order. The first thing they want is learning.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see that child is getting ready for school, is going to be ready for kindergarten, is hopefully can spell their name, and maybe knows the alphabet and some sounds. Next is play, and the third is connection. So now it's learning, play, and connection. So what we did, we took this idea and said, okay, we got this wand. What could we do with the wand to support the parents' needs? So immediately out of the box, when the child takes this wand out, holds it in their hand, they turn it on, and when they push the button, the parent immediately sees that child engaged on the spot without any connection, any setup, just immediately with the wand learning.
Oh,
and said, well, I know something about learning.
Yeah.
So here's a question for you and listeners. If I were to give a child one thing and they were to take this and engage with it, and you saw the 4-year-old doing this, you would say, oh, that child is learning.
Yeah.
What physical thing could I put in that child's hand that would cause you to say, oh, definitively, that child is learning and make you feel good about it?
Oh, wow. What would it be?
So it would be, and when I say it, a book.
Ah.
If you give a child a book and they open it and they start looking through the pages, in a childish age, picture books, you know, pictures, words, object association, they're flipping through it. If you look over, if you walk into a house and see a little kid sitting down with a book in their lap and they're flipping through it, you're going to go, that child's learning something.
Yeah.
Whereas if you see them with a tablet, you're going to go, I wonder what they're doing. Now, maybe, look, there are good games on tablets.
Yeah.
But a book doesn't offer the distraction that a tablet has, and there's screen time limits by the American Academy of Pediatrics. So there's a realization that books are really good, and physical books are on the increase for parents. Children's picture books are selling more now than they did years ago. The sales are trending up. So back to the original question. Back to what a parent wants. They want learning, play, and connection with a grandparent. So what we're doing now is we're evolving the wand to support the ability to, well, here's an analogy. Think of it as, you know, a Nintendo Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Wii? Okay, think of now a Wii for books merged with a LeetPad.
Oh.
So a handheld device with colored orbs on it that responds to your motion. And when you hold this wand and you take a book, in fact, if you download software into it, we'll have a library of software for books.
Mm-hmm.
Download your favorite book into it. You can take that book off your bookshelf if you already own it. Use your wand, and your wand will read the book to the child and let them interact with it, just like a LeetPad did, but much more, because it will respond now, not just to the child being able to interact with it with words and pictures and the games that we did with what I call paper-based multimedia,
right?
But also the wand will respond to the child's movement. So, for instance, now, just with this book, that child could be, they could be driving a car. And as they move their wand, like they're driving a car, they'll hear the sounds of the roaring engine in the drive.
Uh-huh.
Or they could reach up and grab a seatbelt, click, click, and move it down the wand, click down to their side, and they'll hear the seatbelt plug in.
Oh, that's great.
Or they
great.
Could take it and dip in a paint bucket, and they'll hear the sloshing paint, and move it back and forth and paint a dune buggy sitting on the moon, and then maybe climb up into a rocket, wave it around, and hear the rocket take off as they wave it over their head.
So the canoe magic wand is really kind of a gateway to progressing that learning, whether it be turning a page, driving a car, counting, showing where a place is on a map when it comes to somewhere, and then you get to see more of that country, whether it be Italy or the United States or Canada or Britain. So what families basically would have is like a magic wand that could give them unlimited, really different scenarios depending on the book, for them to enjoy and share with each other.
Love it. That's it. It's a magic wand that works with books, works with magazines and books. We also have done a partnership with Highlights Magazine.
Oh, I love Highlights.
And we'll be bringing Highlights Magazines to life. So hidden pictures. I'm looking right now at a hidden picture in a Highlights Magazine, an issue we've done. And this will be coming out this fall, by the way. So the new magic wand will be released supporting books and magazines. This spread is called My First Hidden Pictures on the Moon. Beautiful artwork from Highlights. And there's a picture of a dog holding a moon rock and a rooster connected to a spaceship floating upside down. We've made this come to life with the wand.
Great.
So you do exactly that. You'll paint the dune buggy, you'll sip the tea, and you'll throw the baseball into space while you're looking at the pictures, and then flip over to a story and have the story be read to you and listen to it and interact as it's reading with
now,
the pictures and with what you're hearing.
I want our listeners to take a look at the website, canoe.com. That's K-I-N-O-O.com. And you'll see, and I totally see your vision now. You're reading a book, and to give you an example, there is a page there. The wipers on the bus go swish, swish, swish. And it shows you this is the movement you would make. So the kids understand, the child understands swish, 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 left to right. And they get that movement. They do that, and then they go to the next one. So it's really well put together, I got to tell you.
Thank you, Andy, so much. It's what you're seeing there, by the way, is a precursor to what will be coming out this fall. So this magic wand with the reading capability will be available this fall. And right now, you can go online and you can download our app on the iOS App Store, and you can connect with a grandparent for free, up to an hour a month. So that's already working. That's available. It's the Canoe app on the Apple App Store.
The App Store,
For your iOS device. Yeah.
Wow.
And, but the wands, this capability of the reading wand will be coming out this fall, and we're very excited. I mean, just it's as I said, it's the Wii for books meets the LeetPad, and in a new generation of technology with AI coming into it as well. But I'll reserve talking about that until maybe we speak later this year.
We definitely will. Definitely. And as you said, at the fall, we're going to see more of this. But our listeners can certainly benefit now by going to Knoo.com, Knoo.com, and get all the info they need there about this. This has got to be pretty exciting to see this, because especially when you see a child and a grandparent communicating and doing this type of interaction, that's got to be fulfilling.
It is. I mean, my kids they're both engaged at this point, so I don't have grandkids. They're 20 and 30, but my fingers are crossed. Yeah. But I'll tell you, you know what I really like, Andy, was when I started the work on the LeapPad, I did deep dive research. I've been fascinated with education. I went to MIT in computer science doubly, but studied education as well. And now I'm stepping in deep brain science, because the discoveries that have been made in the last decade that show the visual word form area of the brain in your left hemisphere, which is always in the same place for everybody across cultures,
yeah,
and understanding some of the theories we have about learning that are actually evolving, because now we can look at what's going on in the brain. So this interaction, these interactions and the learning that we're presenting for reading and more are all brain-based. So I'd love to say, if you want your kids' IQ to climb and you want a smart kid, come on back this fall, because we're really creating some amazing experiences that we are committed to supporting education and reading and learning.
It's great stuff. We will talk again in the fall. Knoo.com, Knoo.com. Jim, I got to say, it has been a privilege and an honor to speak to you, an innovator, because, I mean, let's face it, you know, my kids have used the LeapPad products over the years, and I will say they have learned from them and have made them more engaged, and I am just so glad it was there.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, and we hope to help another generation of kids realize their best possible future.
Thank you, sir. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
With a lot more of us wanting to automate our homes and wanting to have all the greatness that technology offers us, you know, we don't want to have security cameras. And a recent report that was released, Daniel Markinson from NordVPN put out an article all about how your security camera might be streaming your life online. And Adrianus Warmerhoven is a cybersecurity advisor over at NordVPN, is joins us on Tech Talk Radio. Adrianus, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us why this is so concerning to many, that we're seeing more and more people wanting to get cameras in their homes, but yet there are some things to think about before they set them up.
Well, it's mostly a trade-off on usability or convenience. Most people want to buy something in a store and then have it plug and play when they come home, and within a couple of minutes they want to have some results on their mobile phone, see the camera pictures. But the problem is that cameras need to do some really broad configurations of your router, because everybody's home is different, everybody's network is different. So they can only do some really generic configuration, which usually means opening up your network and your camera directly to the whole of the internet.
Now, with that means then you have people that could actually get into your system. But then we think, okay, you know, we're protected. We have passwords that we set up within our home, or passwords maybe to access these security cameras. That isn't entirely true when it comes to security. That means it's safe.
Correct. Again, this convenience part, most of these apps during the setup, they kind of forgo the whole password thing, because it gives you a really quicker sense of achievement. Just plug it in and immediately see it. There sometimes is an option to put on a password later on, mm-hmm, but most people never see that option because, well, they see their camera, are happy, and do something else.
We are talking with Adrianus Warmerhoven, a cybersecurity advisor at NordVPN, based in the Netherlands, with products and services available around the world for your digital identity and passwords. And when it comes to the dark web, that can be a scary place. But what you will find on the dark web in many cases is passwords. Even after people have set up passwords, they feel that they're safe because maybe they've gone with, you know, an 8-character, 12-character, 16, and even more password string. And next thing you know, their info is out there on the web. NordVPN and their story that Daniel put together actually tell a little bit about one of those sites.
Yes. There's actually quite a lot of those sites. And if you look at dark web, everything is being sold, resold. In my presentations, I usually mention it. The criminals use everything but the soul. That means that you will be dissected, your passwords will be sold, your credentials, your information, your cameras, your pictures, anything that can be sold will be packaged and be sold wholesale.
And some people wonder, well, that's why they get the phone calls from people doing mortgages and doing everything, especially if they've just gone through that, because that's how it's sold. It's the data is bought cheap. Now, how can NordVPN, and for our listeners who don't know what NordVPN is, Adrianus, can you tell us a little bit about the company?
Yes. NordVPN is a virtual private network company. It has more security products. I'll say something about that in a minute. But it started out as doing a virtual private network over the internet. What it means is that from my own computer, I have this secured armored tunnel to one of NordVPN servers. And from then on, all the requests to the internet are being made. So it means that the recipient websites or email or whatever I'm doing will only see the addresses of the NordVPN sites. So if they want to attack that IP address, your address you need to have to be on the internet, they will only attack the NordVPN servers. And the other benefit for a VPN is, if you are at a public Wi-Fi, nobody can see to which site you are going. Many people sometimes say TLS, like the web encryption, is enough. It is. But an attacker will still see that you're going to, let's say, Chase Manhattan Bank, and then they can send you phishing mails for that specific bank, because that information is not encrypted, even if you have an encrypted connection to your bank. So a VPN will also protect you from those kind of attacks. The problem is with these cameras is that a VPN will not necessarily protect you. But one of the other products we have, like the mesh feature, which means that equipment within your own network, you can reach from your phone in a secure manner. If you switch that on within your NordVPN, you don't have to give your camera access to the internet, and nobody from the internet could see it.
This is going to be very important when it comes to baby monitors. A lot of people have been concerned with those and the connections, and we've heard stories, and this is almost like an ad hoc connection between your smartphone and that device. Yes. And Nord makes that possible.
Yes, that's correct. This is the mesh feature in the NordVPN. You have a NordVPN running within your home. And then whenever you're outside of your home, you just enable the mesh feature on your mobile phone. It makes a secure connection with your home network without opening up the network to anybody else.
Is it easy for the general user? We have listeners that maybe are somewhat into tech. Is it easy for them to set up?
Absolutely. There's a lot of time spent at Nord about user experience. And also, we test this with a lot of our customers and we get a lot of customer feedback. And that means that just with a few clicks, you have enabled it. We take care at Nord with all the defaults, with all the routing, with all the configuration. You don't have to be technical at all.
Now, would this also be smart? In the United States, it's tax season. A lot of people are going to be filing their taxes, connecting to their banks, getting their W-2s and whatnot. Is it important to have a VPN on the home so that when they're dialing out and they're connecting, I said dialing, boy, I'm old school, but when they're connecting to somewhere that they have, again, that NordVPN handling the transmitting of data and receiving of it?
Actually, yes. Not specifically because of the encryption and armoring, but now we talked about cameras, but there will be a lot more devices in your home, all of these plug-and-play smart home devices that will open up ports or actually gates inside your firewall or router to your home network. And if your home address is being exposed to anybody who's listening, they can scan your home IP address and they will find those holes. So they could come in through your vacuum cleaner, your robot vacuum cleaner, or your smart doorbell, or anything actually that has some connection to the internet.
Yeah, we just bought a fridge and it has Wi-Fi. I don't know why, but it does. Either way, I just say that's just something else to worry about. Obviously, NordVPN is a great way to go. How do our listeners get this product? Do they just go to NordVPN.com?
Yes, that's all they need. And everything is being explained there. We have lots of tutorials on there, but also some explanations on what a VPN does if you want to just look at it in more detail. All the other features like password managers, they're also free with the NordVPN, so you can use those as well. It's a comprehensive suite you get together with your VPN package.
So you have like a security suite for somebody to be able to use.
Yes, there's even things like threat protection where we do ad blocking and tracker checking. So even your browser is getting some benefit out of that. A lot of tracking online with cookies, we help with that. And there's some rudimentary malware defense as well. So
very good stuff.
It's complete suite.
Great stuff. Adrianus, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about NordVPN and some things to think about when we're hooking up those home security cameras. Try and stay warm there, will you?
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So you found a couple of TikTok hacks that experts are saying maybe not entirely safe.
Well, I mean, everybody knows that TikTok is a security nightmare, right? China's getting all of your data, location data, everything. ByteDance,
but why is owners. It? Why, you know, that's the thing I don't get, Sean. With all of these notifications, we do have a TikTok for Tech Talk Radio. We don't really use it. But with all of these, people still flock to it and try to get people to follow them rather than there than on Instagram or Facebook or even YouTube, see, thinking that that's a bigger way to grow your base.
Yeah, but at what risk, right? It's like, this is a security nightmare, right? It's just, it is. It's just, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. TikTok is a security nightmare, right? And all that data is going to China.
Would you go so far as saying that people shouldn't even have the app on their smartphones?
100%. You should delete it and then make sure you go in and delete any cache folders or anything. Yeah, don't log in on your computer. Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and the reason why is they will track you. And there were some Forbes journalists that were digging into TikTok. And then a tech reporter found out that, hey, ByteDance, maybe you shouldn't track Forbes journalists via their IP addresses.
Yeah.
So ByteDance, the owners of TikTok, were tracking reporters who were actively writing and discussing and writing not bad things, but critiques or, you know, about TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
That's shady as hell.
Yeah.
Right. So the fact that they can do that to Forbes journalists, I'm sure they're collecting. It's probably in, I can't even imagine the amount of data they've collected. Right. Cause TikTok is so popular, but it's just, people just don't know, right? And I hated it just because I got sucked into it when I first had it. And I just hated it, right? Caitlin had it for a while. And the user algorithm that I had was significantly and vastly different than hers. And it just was weird. And I hated it. I was spending too much time on it, so I deleted it.
Yeah.
And I deleted Facebook and, Snapchat. I still have Snapchat and I use Reddit. And I occasionally browse Twitter, just without an account, but,
right.
And then there's things that go viral, right? Everybody loves a good viral video or a good viral trend, unless you're a Kia owner.
Okay.
Certain models of Kia and Hyundai vehicles, there is a very easy way using a screwdriver and a USB cord that you can pop the steering column off and short circuit something in the car and steal it.
And the sad thing about this is because this was posted, they've seen a rise in the theft of some of these vehicles.
Yeah. There's even Kia, the parent company of Hyundai, are being class action lawsuited because they say that you guys have to do something. Like, we're buying your cars and a 15-year-old kid can watch a TikTok video, smash my car window, take my car for a joyride.
Man, I watch videos to learn how to replace a garbage disposal, not to steal a car. But
yeah, right. So it's like, it's crazy that, and I haven't watched any of the videos because I don't have TikTok. I happened to stumble across this. It was actually on the local news here. And then, yeah, It's crazy. It's
you might want to do a Google search for the story. Just, you know, you could do a keyword search for, you know, TikTok and Forbes, and you probably come across that article. But
yeah, you'll go across the article for the Forbes article. And then if you just search TikTok and Kia, you might be able to have a free ride home tonight.
Not good. Please don't do this at home, kids. All right. Well, that wraps up this week's Tech Talk Radio. Some great stuff covered. Hopefully Justin will be with us next week. He bought himself a turntable, so I know he wants to talk about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, playing vinyl, just like old school.
Awesome. I have a bunch of Maynard Ferguson albums. I do not have a turntable. I would love to get one to play those because I just love Maynard Ferguson. And I've got about a dozen of his albums on vinyl.
So. Yeah, he said that in comparison with the Victrola and some of Crossley and some of the others, this was the best one to get. So we'll find out what that's all about next week on
awesome.
The show.
Awesome, can't wait.
All right, well, have yourselves a great week. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd. You can find us on Twitter, Tech Talk Radio.
Have a great week.